I'm Clyde Lewis. You're about to listen to a sample of today's Ground Zero show.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call in at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. We're coming to you live, coast to coast, all over the country, Canada. We're heard in some parts of England. We're excited. Why? Well, because we're heard on hundreds of affiliates across the country, terrestrial radio stations, and of course, Aftermath.fm, broadcast us in stereo, full show from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. every night. And for those of you that want to listen to the shows at a more convenient time, we do have archive shows available that are stored at aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. It's only a $4.99 charge a month to use that service. $9.99 for not only the shows, but you get TV, you get podcasts, you get Nucifer, you get an audio library, you get movies, you get videos, research papers. My gosh, the place is full, and people who sign up say it's amazing. Because why? You can do your research there. And you show all your friends and tell all your neighbors, look at this. I'm not crazy. This is documented evidence of what I talk about. And we make sure that you have all of the documents available you need by going to aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. So be sure and sign up. It's an amazing thing. It's a great tool, and it's a great place to hang out. I know a lot of people want to join Parler. They want to join all these other groups. But why? When you got aftermath.media, it provides you with more than just Parler does. We give it to you a pretty good price, too. Last night, it was funny. I got off the air. We did On Beyond Zero. Got off the air, and I was beat. I was so tired. And, you know, if I don't come in on the weekends to do work, I end up having to do last-minute stuff on Monday night because I write this I write for a newsletter called Telepath, which is provided by the Paranormal app. And they have me as a guest writer. And I started writing in the studio. It just got real cold. It was just super cold in the studio. And I thought, nah, I can't do this. I'm just too cold. I want to go home. I want to go to bed. I don't want to have my warm blanket when I get home. I just want to go to sleep. And so I walked out, went downstairs. I got this article half done that I was writing for this Telepath newsletter. And Ron texts me and he says, are you going to write the article for the Telepath? And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. So I figured, all right, I'm just going to go back upstairs. And so I burned the midnight oil literally writing this newsletter. And I was writing about Kennedy. Of course, we didn't do a Kennedy show this year because, you know, dates and times just didn't match up. We've done plenty of Kennedy shows. And of course, it is the anniversary of his assassination. So I was writing and I was going back looking at some of the old research that I've done. And much of it was connected to Cuba and Fidel Castro. And so I got captivated by this again. And so as I was going on the internet and doing some more research, it led me to reading about death squads and paid assassins linked to the mob. And there I was seeing the details about the Northwoods document. That's the thing that everybody talks about, right? False flag events. All this was proposed to hijack and destroy American planes and blame it on Cuba. Well, the Northwoods document is often cited by conspiracy theorists as proof of the government and how they create events and blame it on another country, another entity to declare wars. That is what a true false flag is, okay? False flag does not mean it's fake. It's a false flag. They don't even know what they're talking about when they say that. It makes me so mad because, you know, there are people out there that know what a false flag is. And there are other people who just say, oh, that shooting was a false flag, meaning actors were there. They're all crisis actors. That's not what a false flag is. A false flag is when an event does happen, people are killed, but they blame it on someone else when it's your government or some other entity that it's obvious that they did it. And when you look at Operation Northwoods, if you really read it, if you read it and not just say, Operation Northwoods, I know all about it. It was proposed that false flag operations could be used against the Cuban government, that they originated within the United States Department of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the United States government back in 1962. Now, the proposals were calling for the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, or some other U.S. government operative or operatives to stage and actually commit acts of terrorism against American military and civilian targets, blaming them on the Cuban government and using it to justify war against Cuba. That is what a false flag is. So if you want to know the definition of a false flag event, go back to the Northwoods document and read it and understand that it's when our government decides to create some sort of commotion that will trigger a war. You know, many times we've had shootings that people say, well, they're false flag events. Well, tell me then who really did it. Well, the government did it. And then they pinned it on a patsy. Okay, we understand that. But then people start saying, well, it's a false flag event because nothing happened. And the reason why I'm aggravated is because there was a mall shooting where I live here in Oregon, Clackamas Town Center, and one of the guys that was shot was a colleague of mine, and he was killed. I worked with him at an outfit called Intercom, and he was killed. And all these people saying, false flag, never really happened, crisis actors. Well, tell that to his wife, tell that to his kids, and tell that to all the people who worked with him, because he's dead. And so when I hear people saying false flag about everything they see that's a shooting or something, I just want to just say, hey, if you knew what a false flag was, you'd shut your freaking mouth. But you don't. And so as I was looking over the Northwoods document, understanding what the Joint Chiefs of Staff recommended, proposed, the idea of we will create our own, we'll hijack planes, we'll bomb planes, and we'll blame it on Cuba. We'll blame it on Castro. And so, you know, all these things are side stories to the JFK assassination, links to Cuba and the hijack wave America experienced during Vietnam. And, you know, the idea that these planes were being hijacked, that they were being bombed, and I think arguably, and as I was moving through my studies, arguably the last hijacker of the period was none other than D.B. Cooper. With, you know, if you go down that list, you find out who were the hijackers and what they did. D.B. Cooper was kind of the last of his breed. And with what I know about D.B. Cooper, the D.B. Cooper case, I can make the argument that the whole D.B. Cooper thing was an inside job. And it was an inside job. When you're dealing with the D.B. Cooper case, for me anyway, it's always been one of those mysteries that sat on the back burner, back shelf for a while. It was always one of those stories that lost its flavor after many years of dead ends and people who could just, you know, out of the blue claim they're D.B. Cooper. It's kind of like, I'm Napoleon, I'm D.B. Cooper, you're D.B. Cooper. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you get a lot of publicity. Or, you know, a friend of a friend of a friend that's D.B. Cooper. Or, you know, someone on their deathbed says they're D.B. Cooper. But the thing is, no one can imagine the shock that you get when you really find out that one of your old friends, one of your mentors, is named a suspect in the D.B. Cooper case. I don't know if any of you know about this, but I know someone, and this is like one degree of separation, or I knew someone, he's dead now, but I knew someone who was, and I worked with someone who was, and maybe still is, a suspect in the D.B. Cooper case. I mean, anyone who knows me or has heard anything about me, they know that I learned everything that I learned everything that I know about the paranormal. I learned it from an old Antioch priest whose name was Wolfgang Gosset. Wolfgang Gosset, his real name was William, but they called him Wolfgang. Wolfgang Gosset is one of the many suspects of the D.B. Cooper case. He probably isn't the most known, which in my opinion makes his story believable, because I believe the FBI doesn't want anyone to know who the real D.B. Cooper is. That's why I say D.B. Cooper, the whole hijacking thing, is an inside job. And the reason why I'm talking about it is because, well, it's the anniversary again. It's nearly 50 years since he hijacked that plane. And it just goes back to, you know, my friend Wolfgang, what he was. I mean, Wolfgang Gosset was a paranormal investigator. He was a priest. He worked for the FBI. And he worked in the Missing Persons Department of the FBI. He was a former Marine. He was a career Army officer. He was highly skilled HALO paratrooper. He possessed all the basic skills and physical appearances. He was like 5'10". He weighed 185 pounds. I mean, he looked like Cooper. I mean, you look at his old pictures. He looked like Cooper. He had brown eyes, short dark hair, parted on the left. Gosset even drank bourbon, and he smoked these cigarettes with little filters on them, were kind of bizarre. And the thing is when I knew him, he didn't want anybody to know he smoked. He used to keep it quiet. He said, don't tell my wife that I smoke. And he had a wife because he was an Antioch priest. But he said, don't tell my wife I smoke. So he kept that quiet. See, because back in the day when I hung out with Gosset, he was doing a show on a station called KCGL. It was a paranormal show. And he'd do paranormal investigations. And he had me along every once in a while. I learned a lot from him. But we'd go out to a place called D's Hamburgers. And we'd eat cheeseburgers at D's Hamburgers. D's Hamburgers were so good. They had the Super D hamburger. And it was a really good hamburger. They went out of business. But they used to have this big D Burger clown sign. For those of you that in Utah live, they have the big D Burger clown sign. And we'd sit there under the D Burger clown and we'd eat cheeseburgers. And we'd eat their fries. It was just great food. And we'd talk all the time about paranormal activity. And he'd tell me all about his military career. He told me all about how he was he worked for the FBI. And I thought he was just full of crap. Because I'm thinking, this priest that I talked to, telling me all about this paranormal stuff, he even told me he was a psychic. Okay? He said he had psychic abilities. And the strangest thing about Wolfgang Gossett is he told me, he said, you know, back when I was a Mormon, he says, you're going to go on a mission for the LDS Church. And I said, no, I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. He says, you're going to end up going to South America, he said. And then you're going to end up in Seattle. And I said, why would I go to South America than Seattle? He says, you're going to go to Seattle, you know, on your mission, you're going to be sent to Seattle. And he says, and then you're going to finish your mission there, and it's going to be a successful mission for you and whatever. And I'm just like going, sure. So what happened is I went to South America, of course, Buenos Aires. I was there doing missionary work. And I got sick. I had to have an operation when I was in South America. And I was out for about 6 weeks. And they told me, they said, look, if you don't get better from this operation, we're going to have to send you back to the States. And you're going to have to heal there. And I go, well, where would you send me? We'd send you to a convalescent mission, and that would be in Seattle, Washington. And so I said, no. I want to hold out here because I had some guy, back then, you know, I was afraid of the devil, right? I had some priest, this crazy priest, who told me that I was going to go to Argentina or go to South America for my mission, and that I was going to leave and go to Seattle. I said, I don't want this to happen, so please, please, please don't make this guy's fantasies come true. So he was odd. He was really bizarre. He left the Army in 1973. He was at Fort Lewis, just right near McCord Air Force Base, just south of SeaTac Airport. He had been stationed in Brienne-le-Château, France. I mean, there's this eerie synchronicity, all this strange stuff about Gossett that I want to share with you about why I think that he's D.B. Cooper. Because at first I was very reluctant to say so, but then the more I realized what I knew about this man, I thought, yep, there's a reason why he's not being talked about in the mainstream, because they don't want you to know that he truly is D.B. Cooper. And I'll tell you why coming up. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. And we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.